hello, hello, and welcome to Drive Through HR. You are talking with Crystal Miller, host Crystal Miller, and I am going to be speaking with Rayanne Thorne. Rayanne Thorne, thank you so much for stopping by.
Well, hey, Crystal, thanks for asking me to drop by.
Oh, but of course, and thank you for doing Drive Through HR and all of our listeners a solid, since Felix Nader wasn't able to show up as scheduled.
Well, that's unfortunate, but hopefully you can have that guest back on later.
Oh, sure. Things happen, and you are a peach for stopping by. And you know what? We've got good news and big news to talk about. So why don't we start with introducing you and what's going on in your world?
Well, interestingly enough, the last Drive Through HR show I listened to actually talked about a job that was available with Dovetail Software, and here I am. I have accepted a position with Dovetail as their vice president of marketing. Last Tuesday was my first day, so it's been a crazy week because just before that, 2 days before that, I got married. So it's been a crazy last 2 weeks for me.
That is a pretty busy last couple of weeks, so congratulations on both your new job, and glad we could play any small part in that, and the bigger news here, your new marriage. Congratulations.
Yeah, you absolutely played a part in that, Crystal. You were the one that said, why aren't you calling Dovetail? So thank you for the sideways glance and the nudge and just telling me to, hey, you should definitely look into this. So I appreciate that. It seems to be a great fit thus far. I'm diving in as one would expect. There are many things to do, conference preparation and just getting all of their marketing efforts up to today's standards. And it's been quite a fun, but also a very busy time.
Well, yeah, the first 60 days, 90 days of a new job feel like kind of a whirlwind, don't they?
Yeah, it does. It definitely feels like that. And hopefully they will be patient with me as I am learning to be patient with them. So.
Yeah, there's always that delicate dance. Well, I understand. I mean, yes. I don't want to take any sort of wind out of the sails. So if it's something that we need to press pause on and talk about at a later date, that's cool. But I understand you jumped right in and are gearing up for an event at SHRM with No Kid Hungry.
That's exactly right. I'm happy to talk about that. We are currently sourcing a location for an event, but I do have a space that I've worked with before that has been very helpful already and wants to be a part of the event. We're going to do a really interesting twist. There's always been an athletic theme for Dovetail's No Kid Hungry event that they have done at SHRM. I think this is the fourth year that they've sponsored an event at SHRM National. And so we're going to shift gears away from a traditional athletic event and try something a little bit different. And I'm not sure that the D to the lay is ready to expose what we're doing. But so I'll keep that under wraps. But if everybody just could keep watch, we'll be releasing information soon about the event. We're hoping to raise even more money than we did last year. It's something that Dovetail's devoted to, and I'm really excited to actually be on the planning side this year and help Dwayne Lay, who is the Vice President of Customer Experience at Dovetail and has handled this event for the last 3 years. I'm really excited to be on his team and working in the background with him. I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful and memorable event. So there will be people that would be contacted. So I hope your ears are burning and your pockets are ready to dispose of some of the money you have jingling in there.
Okay, so I love that. And I think it kind of brings up an interesting topic that we don't really get to talk about much on Drive Through, which is charitable giving and corporate responsibility, particularly as it relates to the individual at work, right?
So, I mean, right.
When you think about employees, they don't often really get a direction in what charity a company works with or, you know, it has any sort
exactly.
of involvement with. So, I mean, walk me through, if you can, like, how does this feel to be part of this, and then how can the person at SHRM participate?
So we'll be releasing information via Twitter and also on our website. There will be several different folks that we're going to pull in that will write blog posts about it. So You can, I'm not sure of the hashtag that we're going to put in place. It's probably NKHSHRM15. I'm guessing there will be a specific hashtag. So I'll make sure that your audience knows that. And I'm not sure how Dovetail actually selected the No Kid Hungry event. I know that Dwayne has been involved with it for a couple of years. It might have been through Brand Camp. I know that Summer Brand Camp has been involved with No Kid Hungry for several years as well. I think it's a great organization. I've had opportunity to participate in some of the SHRM events and also obviously to donate some of that hard-earned cash and give back. You, Crystal, know better than most when it comes to employment branding the benefit that has come to organizations that actually embrace a social initiative, charitable giving. We're starting to see the next gen workforce. So if we talk about millennials, if we talk about Gen Y and Gen Z, these different generations have a very different focus about what they want to see for organizations where they go to work. And so it's becoming more important for companies to be more vocal about what their giving is like and to display it more often. And if they haven't had a social initiative or haven't been charitable in the past, they need to start thinking about what they can do for the future. Not only is it obviously a tax write-off or a benefit to the organization when it comes to money, but it also is going to drive interest. It's going to drive traffic to the website. It's going to build an employment brand that is attractive to the next-gen workforce. And you know, I have a son who's 18, graduating from high school, getting ready to go off to college, and he's going to study entrepreneurship. That's his goal, but there's a twist to it. He wants to give back, you know, and he's made that very clear. And so I don't think that those of us that have been in the workforce for 20 to 30 years are familiar with this type of initiative coming from, excuse me, the next generation. So it's becoming really, really important and also a valuable tool. You know, if you don't want to do it just to give, you should think of the benefit that it will bring to your employment brand.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's interesting that we don't hit on that more, right? So, I mean, if you look at HR, and we're kind of, from a marketing perspective, we're typically 10 years behind corporate marketing and what they were doing. Well, 10 years ago with corporate marketing, I mean, corporate sustainability and corporate social responsibility were really big topics. So the fact that that hasn't woven its way into more of our talent attraction efforts, I know that larger companies definitely hit on that, and some small companies do. But even within our interviewing, like, how much does it matter
right.
if an individual cares about giving back? Like, how does that
right.
affect the company?
It, you know, back when I was last an active recruiter, I worked for a software tech startup incubator type place in the heart of Newport Beach, where there was, it's a kind of a tech hotbed located right next to Irvine. And one of the things that I used when I spoke to potential placements, when I had, you know, the higher end candidate coming in, was the different charitable efforts that we were doing. You know, we were actively participating in breast cancer awareness. It was an important part of our day. I was able to walk around and, you know, stop in every department and see how, you know, this department was going to contribute, what efforts they were going to do. And I turned that back around and wove that into our employment brand and part of the offering that we had to the new workforce we were trying to build. And I carried that with me when I went to Broadbean. That was an important part of Broadbean. They do all kinds of charitable efforts. And one of the things that Broadbean kind of does better than most is they really share it out what they're doing. You know, they and Dovetail does the same thing. They want to make sure that everybody else knows that, look, this is what we're doing, and we're also listening to our employees. What do they want to be involved in? What efforts do they want to bring to the table? And there are often nominations that take place where employees are able to say, look, I've done work for this charity. You know, we've picked up trash in Huntington Beach. We've done the Susan G. Komen walk, Race for the Cure. We've done No Kid Hungry. There's all these different efforts that are really important and valuable to not only creating a strong employment brand for the next gen, but also creating a definitive culture, a work outside of work, you know, this combined effort to give back to society, to give back to the community, to give back to the world. It's very valuable. And I think, you know, your question about corporate responsibility, I think it didn't catch on because corporate was attached to it, right? It became about money, about the company, and not about the people. And so I think we're starting to see, because of social media, because of the opportunity for employees and job seekers to really be vocal about their job search, about what they want from their organization, that we're starting to see a little bit of a turn in that, you know, that we're going to, let's drop the corporate part of that. Let's just make it about giving. It's not about money. It's not about, you know, it's not in particular about having, you know, this mission statement about our corporate responsibility or corporate giving. The giving needs to be not attached to anything else except that this is what we want to do, this is what we need to do, and it's what we should do. You know, it's what's right. And we just have too many young professionals that are very vocal about it, and we can't ignore it anymore.
Totally agree. I was talking with a company last week, and one of the things we were discussing was what was going to be their tax on charitable giving. Like, how are they going to message that to the people that currently work for them and the people that want to work for them as far as what their goals were? And I was like, well, what are your goals? So, like, well, we want to give back to the community. And they said, how? And and the response was, they don't really care. They just want to do more. Well, say that. You know?
Yeah.
You want everyone to do more. What does do more look like? And for them, it was like a set of hours. They expected each employee to give so many hours to something, and that time was paid to be able to leave work and go give back to the community. And I was like, that's cool.
That's awesome. But there's also, when you throw a responsibility and a report back, you need to report back. It's kind of reminiscent of college when you had to, depending on a class, you had to attend a lecture and then report back on it, right? That kind of removes the self-impetus to it. You know, there's this drive that's, or a whip, if you will, that's behind you saying you have to give back. And I don't think that's going to resonate well with a lot of the millennials and the Gen Zs out there. You know,
well,
they don't want to have to report back. So.
Yeah, I get that. There's a balance to it, though, right? Like,
that's right.
From being PTO. So if you're going to say, hey, you can have X amount per year that we'll pay you to go give back to the world.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right. You know,
accountability to it.
I agree with that. If it's on company time, agreed 100%. But you know, this next generation workforce is really making all the rules themselves. You know, they want to work from home. They want to have some type of development path in place. They want to know what you see as leadership in the organization. What path do you see for me? How are you going to help me develop and grow? And what potential do you see in me? And how are you going to help me give back to society? How are you going to let me use my own devices? How are you going to let me be me? There, it's a huge, huge movement that we're seeing. And if you plan on filling a skills gap, a very big, wide skills gap that's happening within organizations, in particular in companies that rely on technology, you're going to have to start to appeal to this totally different way of thinking that's coming out of the next gen.
No, I agree with that, too. It is a huge shift from what we're used to, though. I mean, 20 years ago, it was really just, here's the job we have, and aren't you grateful that you have the opportunity to fill it? And it's a total paradigm shift. So speaking of shifts, let's take a quick moment to reset as we've hit mid-show already. Time flies with you, Rayanne. If you are just now tuning in, I know, right? If you're just now tuning in, you are listening to Drive Through HR, the Internet's number one HR show in 30-minute digestible bites. Today, we are talking with Rayanne Thorne. And Rayanne is with Dovetail Software as their new VP of Marketing and has announced that she just recently got married. So fabulous things happening in
life. I did.
Which is cool. So the two successes, I'd like to try something new, and I'm totally putting you on the spot. So you're like, yeah, no, I don't want to talk about that. And we'll forgive you for it. But a lot of success comes on the other side of spectacular failures. And I don't have anything in mind. But one of the things that we've kicked around as the drive-through team is talking through what are some of the things that we learned in failure. So, I mean, what do you have something in your life that you can share from a professional standpoint, whether it relates to charity or career development or whatever, that you would really, that you have it on your heart to share with listeners that you failed, got back up, and managed to succeed?
Oh, wow. I think I am the princess of failure. You know, I have spent and it's funny that you asked this question because I've thought a great deal about this. Two of my greatest fears, and I've written a great deal about this. I've written about it over on Blogging for Jobs and my new site where I write with Todd Schnick called Intrepid Now. Two of my greatest fears in life have been failure and falling. And interesting that I call them my F words, right? So my two F words are failure and falling. And I think the fear of failure for me grew from being raised in a very religious, strict household, and wanting to not fail my parents and grow up to be a decent human being, you know, first and foremost, growing up in a religious home was to be a good mother, a good wife, and a good mother. And I kind of failed at the wife part, you know. I had a very difficult first marriage that involved a great deal of mental and physical abuse. My ex-husband was an alcoholic, and you know, it was a failure that I felt on me. And so I had to work through that and work past it. And I still struggle with that. You know, failed relationships are very hard on your heart and on your mind and ultimately affect future relationships, right? So that's something that I have been working on for a long time. And failure at work, you know, I recently was let go from a job, not recently, about 9-10 months ago. And I had never been let go from a job before. So, you know, that was a definitely, I got bumped off the horse. I got bucked off a horse really hard and hit my head and really had to regroup and rethink and figure out, okay, what did I have to do with that? What was my responsibility in that? And, you know, you just have to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, categorize what you learned, right? And then actually put it in its right place and not have it hover in front of you and be this black mark or curse that you, you know, that you have to overcome consistently. Sandra McCart, who's been around for quite a while, been recruiting for quite a while and very active on recruiting blogs and used to listen in on the Animal Show all the time and very active on social media, once told me after hearing another one of my stories of failure that I was, did anyone ever tell you, Rayanne, that you were born under the sign of a turd, you know? So that kind of stuck with me, and I decided, you know what, turds are great fertilizer, you know? They're great fertilizer, and you can either decide to lay under that and, you know, wallow in the filth, or you can decide that that's going to help me to grow, and that's going to make me stronger. And that's kind of what I've done. I've, you know, failure is a really, really, really difficult thing to overcome, more so mentally than any other aspect of your life. It's a place where you have to go in your head where you say, you know what, that happened and I'm not going to let it happen again, or this is what I learned from it. And so I just need to redirect and start over again. And I've had ample opportunity to start over. I feel like failure is no longer a foe, but more of a friend. It's helped me become who I am. You know, there are so many different things that have happened in my life that have brought me to this place. You know, I'm a firm believer in not so much destiny, but the chaos theory, that the butterfly effect, there is a one instance that can happen in your life that happened a long time ago that can affect you today, you know. And so I try to live by that. It's not always easy because, you know, failure is that F word, right, that hangs over you. So it's not easy. I don't know if that that answered your question, but I've taken every moment that has would probably be listed for most people as a failure and considered it a course, a college course, and I am still earning my degree.
So I think that's fair, and quite frankly, I think all of us do. I mean, the big failures and the big successes of our life are typically not something that's held in isolation, right? It's part of a journey, and so we continually can dip back into those successes and those failures to continue to learn, to continue to grow, to continue to be more or whatever
right.
it is that we need to be. But like you said, I think you nailed it. The hardest part is getting through your head. So if you were speaking to a room of people that had recently just failed, you know, at whatever, what's the first thing they have to do?
Well, the first thing they have to do is stop listening to the voices, you know, stop listening to the voices and realize that I found a quote the other day and posted it on my wall that the hottest fire makes the finest or the greatest steel, right? So when you go through times of trial, when you go through times of anguish, whether it's a physical trial or a mental trial or a an emotional trial, there is something that happens to you. You become stronger if you let it happen to you, you know, if you let that happen. And a lot of people don't let that happen. They have this roadblock that in their mind that says, I failed because I am weak, instead of saying, I've failed, and guess what? I've learned something, so I'm going to move forward and use that new knowledge that I have gained as a representation of where I'm going and a sign that will help direct me. So it's, I talk to people a lot about this kind of thing. I've developed blog series, I've done webinars on it, I've done presentations on it, and it's not an easy thing to overcome. But it is what you need to do if you want to find success. I mean, if you want to curl up in a ball, then, you know, go ahead, keep thinking that way. But, you know, I have often used, and you sat in on one of these presentations that I did, Crystal, business tactics to help survive personal crisis, right? And there are different things that you can do. Controlling your life, acting like the CEO of your life, right? If you were the CEO of a company, you would not continue to do something that didn't benefit your organization, right? If it didn't benefit you, if it didn't bring you some type of ROI, you would stop that practice. And yet, as human beings in our life, we continually do things that do not benefit us. And then we wonder why we fail, or why we don't have friends, or why nobody likes us, or why, you know, because we haven't really looked at what's happening and said, yeah, you know what, that didn't work. We should probably try something different. So it's finding that balance of what I gain in my life, how can I balance the gain, and then returning on that and gaining the balance, I suppose.
I think that's all great advice, and I will say that I did just tweet out to the drive-through Twitter sphere that if anyone has gone through a personal or professional struggle, they really should reach out to you for that social HR camp deck, because it was amazing.
Thank you. It comes from a lifetime of learning, right? Might as well take what I know and what I've learned and give it back to others.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's kind of something that we should all do. So kudos to you for showing us how to do it. So we got about 5-6 minutes left. I do, as a thank you so much for coming on board, I want to make sure that we give you time to talk about anything you might want to talk about. So anything on your mind?
Well, you know, obviously I'm thinking a great deal about Dovetail these days, and I hope that anybody who's interested in HR case management or employee engagement will take a look at the product and, take the time to do a demo. It's a great product, great company, really, really, really strong ethics. One of the things that appealed to me the most as I was going through the interview process was the very evident nature of the CEO, of the leadership within the company, how important it is to behave ethically. And, you know, you just don't see that. You know, I have not had as strong an experience as I had with Dovetail. So I'm really excited to be a part of a company that values truth, honesty, you know, delivering what you say you will deliver. It's been a very refreshing and, in a way, liberating, right? And the other thing I would say is that if folks listening to the podcast obviously enjoy audio learning, I also have my own show called HR Latte that's been insanely successful. And doing a series right now that's really interesting on recruiters or talent management goes tech. And I'm talking to individuals that have previously worked as recruiters, as hiring professionals, as HR professionals, and then moved into the dark, as what we call the dark side of HR tech, the vendor side, and why they've done it, why they've launched a company, why they've chosen to work for vendors, and that's been exciting. Concluded a series on diversity in the workplace, really great series last month. So a lot of great information out there right now. I love what's happening right now in marketing, the shift that's gone to education with a twist of entertainment and giving back. That's, you know, that's a way to give back without consistently requiring a call to action. And people who are doing it right are going to be successful.
Well, so that was a whole lot in a two-minute span, and that's awesome. So if someone wanted to find HR Latte, where do they go to find that?
They can go straight to hrlatte.com, or they can go to blogtalkradio.com/HR Latte. Pretty easy to find. They can also follow us on Twitter at HR Latte, or you can follow me at Dovetail. And since we're now Dovetail has brought me into their fold, under their wing, under their tail, so to speak, HR Latte is now sponsored by Dovetail. So you can follow Dovetail and get that information as well.
Excellent. Oh, speaking of which, I think Duane has Pinterest board information for you, but we can talk about that offline.
Okay.
The recorded reminder that he needs to give it to you. So
okay, sounds great.
So lots of great things going on. So excited and glad that you could be here. SHRM 15, what are you looking forward to the most?
I think, you know, this is so selfish for me to say, but the thing that I'm looking forward to most is we're not exhibiting, you know, so it really is a great time for us to connect. So, you know, Dovetail will be there sponsoring the No Kid Hungry event, and it'll be a great time for us, Duane and I, to connect with clients, to talk with potential partners, to connect with the industry. You know, he and I have been very active in social media for many years in the HR industry, HR technology industry, and I think it will just be great for us to join arms, you know, and just kind of storm through and make new connections and find out what HR professionals really want and need from their HR technology and take it back to our team.
Fantastic. All right, so you heard it. SHRM 15ers, what you need to go do is find Rayanne and find Duane and tell them what you need in HR technology. And maybe Dovetail can help make that happen as it relates to case management. So, again, Rayanne, thank you so much for joining us today. It was last minute, so really there's a special place for you in Blog Talk Heaven.
Well.
we'll see you soon at SHRM 15.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you. Have a great day.